joining us for another intriguing edition of the Stat Pack. Perhaps you can help solve a mystery. I'm Steve French. What's up? This is a special little pop-in episode. It's just me, David Howell, joined by the vivacious Rodan, Daniel Benavides. What's up?
Not much. That we're changing our name to the Unsolved Mysteries Mysteries, the podcast about a podcast on a podcast.
We want to talk a little bit about the Unsolved Mysteries, official Unsolved Mysteries podcast. We have a beef. No, it's super good. It's really cool.
I have words.
Dan and I listened to the first episode. Eli would normally be joining us, but he is asleep. We don't know. He didn't have power.
Maybe asleep. Maybe fighting off the wolves in the frozen tundra that is now Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, he might not have power anymore. We don't know what's going on.
As far as we know, it could be Hunger Games out there, and if so, may the odds forever be in your favor.
Yeah, we are over here in El Paso, which is barely Texas, and it's fine. We're going to be in the 90s next week. But apparently the rest of Texas, yeah, is some frozen, powerless...
I heard the White Walkers are about to reach Houston.
Yeah. It's funny when you see all our friends who live in Austin and other parts of Texas, and it's like, maybe, like, it's not that much snow. It's just, there's no power, and it's Texas, so everyone's like, holy shit. I mean, it sucks, yeah. For Eli, it sucks. I mean, he was four kids. He was in it. I'm sure he'll tell us all about it. We'll let him talk about it when we get back to the proper show. But
four kids and no internet or technology. I wonder how many.
Well, they went and stayed at the in-laws. I don't think they were really powerless for that long. Luckily, I don't think his in-laws ever had their power out. But yeah, we'll definitely let Eli talk about that when we get back. We just want to talk about episode one of the Unsolved Mysteries podcast, which was very cool. Definitely classic Unsolved Mysteries vibes. The new host, Steve French, has a great voice. Turn up the bass. Listen to it real loud. It's got good production value, too. The music is more classic Unsolved Mysteries, and the format is, too, I think, because you have your narrator, and he gives a little intro to the story,
which if for some odd reason every time he said Ball Cemetery, like the way he started to say cemetery, I instantly, like, the childhood in me was like, he's gonna say ball sack, he's gonna say ball sack. Oh, giggling? Cemetery.
Yeah, so Ball Cemetery is a private cemetery that
sorry,
is
thought of ball
haunted
sack.
As fuck, and what we get is like an anthology of spooky ass stories that take place there. The first one is about the kids that go there, and one of them essentially gets possessed, and a ghost drop kicks a friend in the stomach. That's what I got out of it. It's pretty fucking cool. The way they told the stories was pretty cool. And then one guy had a bunch of stories. He'd been like three times on all these separate occasions. One of them tells a really creepy story about a windmill going off when there wasn't a hint of a breeze in the air. And then once they noticed it, it stopped and then started slowly turning the opposite direction that it had been going.
But what if that was just mice inside the windmill, like housing, just, you know,
like ratatouille-ing, making grain, like they have their own little side hustle going.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, don't discount that. And the other really creepy story is about the group of kids that goes, they turn off the lights and they go walk around the cemetery at night, and then they run into another car and they're like, oh, our car broke down, can you help us out? And they like help them out. They like leave to go get them to like jump their car, and immediately turns on. And then when they follow them out of the cemetery, the car essentially disappears. So they were just like hanging out with ghost people.
Well, you leave out like they didn't just... It wasn't like just two teenagers, you know, like one night, like, hey, let's go to the cemetery and like roam around. The guys what was it, girlfriend or ex-girlfriend grandmother ended up having a plot there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that, like, that was that reason. They're like, well, let's go check out grandma's grave.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well,
like, how does that conversation, like come up, though?
I think it was just, like, he had been once before, and because he had the story earlier, and then he was just like, what? Like, there's a plot there? Like, we have a reason to go to Ball Cemetery, and we won't get shot by old man Carruthers? Because they talk about how there's a guy, you know, like Steve French says that, you know, like, trespassers are usually greeted with, you know, some guy with a shotgun.
With the caretaker with a shotgun. Which, when he said that, it kind of reminded me of, like, one of the Scooby-Doo episodes where it's, like, the old, like, grumpy caretaker.
Yeah. What you kids doing out here?
Who is usually, usually is the perp. So, you know.
Yeah, he's the one pretending to be the ghosts.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know what you came looking for, Mr. Matthews. I know your father. I'm going to report to him right now. Don't you come up here to Pet Cemetery. I mean, to Ball Cemetery.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say Ballsack for a second.
Again?
I'm sorry. Why would you name a cemetery Ball Cemetery? Like, it just...
Because the family, it's like, I don't, they don't get into too much detail, but it's you know, from the 1800s, something like that. It's old. Anyway, great production value. I can't wait to see what they're going to do. Apparently, they're going to do some bunch of more spooky things, paranormal things, very true crimey missing persons. This, I wouldn't call this full unsolved mystery, but I guess any ghost story is an unsolved mystery because no one's ever been like, hey, I'm a scientist and I say ghosts are real. So I guess all, I guess all ghosts count, right? As unsolved mysteries. But yeah, I mean, I even got a comment today when I posted that we were listening to it and the comment was like, yeah, you know, this, I like this a lot because there wasn't enough ghosts. There was only the one ghost in the first batch of new Unsolved Mysteries episodes. Well, the first, I guess, couple of batches, however you want to look at it. The first batch had an alien, and the second one had a ghost. But yeah, good production value. The music was good. More classic 90s Unsolved Mysteries, definitely, in format and music. And yeah, Steve French. I mean, he's got a great voice. It's not, he doesn't have the, it's not like raspy, but it's like, it's just deep and gravelly and good. Yeah, I approve. I think Stack would approve too. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Stack would approve. Can't wait for more. I think we'll probably, in our weekly episodes, we'll probably do a little segment where we mention the podcast episode or something like that.
Can we take a moment? I got to do a commercial break here.
Sure. Go for it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Ball Cemetery. When you're looking for a place for eternal rest, choose Ball Cemetery. You'll have a ball of a time. We guarantee it.
You'll have a ball. Damn. Sorry, I was just thinking about, I forgot about the creepy demon marks.
Oh, and the creepy lady, like,
oh yeah,
what was her name? Martha?
Well,
Maria.
The first group of kids said that once they got there, they got the vibe of, oh yeah, you know, you shouldn't be here. You're fucking stepping up to this haunted ass place, and that they thought they saw a woman like in the bushes, like just standing there laughing at him.
I don't think he said he saw. Like creepy. He was saying, like when they pulled up to the cemetery. And they got out, he got the feeling that there was just some woman off in the distance out of view, just like laughing at him, just like I warned you, you dumb children, like I warned you, but you decided to like ignore my warning, so like let's play, like, you know.
Yeah, it's creepy. Any one of those stories would make a cool little, like Dan was saying when we were listening to it, would make a cool little horror short. Ball Cemetery. Yeah, I can't wait for more. Anyway, we're also going to talk a little bit about I'm sure it's been, every podcast has talked about it, but we watched, just like everyone else, we watched this new documentary on this Cecil Hotel. What's it called? Like crime investigation, or I don't know. It has like some,
sure.
title before it. But yeah, the Netflix thing about Lisa Lam and the fucking Cecil Hotel.
The Cecil?
It was a well-done documentary. It really does paint the clearest picture and kind of, I don't know, it just solidifies what I always thought, what, you know, with all the stuff that was on the internet and what we knew. Yeah, mental illness and just the weird place that she was staying at and lots of factors. Definitely the video is still creepy and mysterious, but...
I mean, there's so many warning signs, like, from the get-go of the whole little four-episode series on this particular story. Like, they start off saying that, you know, she was, what, 21 years old?
I mean, it's nothing new, it's just in more detail, but yeah, the way that it's structured...
Like, well, that's what I don't mean, like, anything new or anything that's structured. It's, like, it's something interesting that they point out that was... apparent from like the get-go, where like when this case was happening, the media talked about how, you know, like she was 21 years old, this was like her first time ever like traveling alone, and like her parents were like very hesitant in the sense of like, oh, like, you know, be safe, but in the hesitant of more like you shouldn't be allowed to like travel by yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, that was known, but that never, like, really clicked in. Like that doesn't, like, all right, you're 21 years old and, like...
Why wouldn't your parents let you go somewhere by yourself?
Exactly. Like, you're your own adult, like, at that point. Like, I mean, it's one thing for, like, your family or your parents to be like, well, you know, I don't think you should. But for them to be adamantly like, well, I don't know, like, all right, well, we'll let you go, but you have to call us, like, four times a day, you know?
Yeah, that's... She definitely shouldn't have... gone anywhere by herself. Not to say she couldn't take care of herself, which is, I don't want that to sound insulting, but especially when you're going to a place, especially, I don't know, anybody who's been on a vacation. Yeah, anybody who's been on a vacation knows that, like, funny shit like that happens where you're just like, oh, cool, going to LA for the first time. Like we went to LA not long ago.
It was like 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago.
It wasn't that long ago. So we got an Airbnb and we were like, oh, this is Compton. And it was interesting. I'll say that. But yeah, I mean, still, it's still like not that far from anything, but I mean, I guess it's LA, so traffic sucks. So it is, but, yeah. And then we got like a trillion fucking parking tickets and just like shit happens. You get beaten down sometimes when you go on vacations. So it's like, yeah, like, okay, LA, you think you're staying at a cute little hipster boutique place and you're like, okay, Skid Row, homeless drug dealers. But that's like, yeah, it's just unfortunate that she was alone and decided to not take her medication. What is weird, and I wish Conan would talk about it, because they go into more detail. I never knew that. So the day before she disappears, she goes to a taping, they say on the show. I know for a fact it's Conan. She went to a taping of Conan. Dan and I have actually been to a taping of Conan on a couple different occasions. Two tapings. We went to one. Remember the one time we went and it was raining, so they bussed us in? We didn't even have to like sit and wait in that little...
Was that the Christmas one or was that the other one?
No, I don't think... Oh, yeah, that was the Ellen one. That was the first time. All right, yeah. Where Ellen gave us Beats by Dre. That was like in 2015 or 2016.
Oddly enough, the second time we went, it also rained, but it wasn't rainy enough for us to be bussed in.
It was a cloudy day, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we were waiting in that little, like, line, like, audience holder, and there's just, like, a little HD screen under a pavilion outside, and they just play Conan.
I just remember being hungover as fuck, throwing up in a bathroom and having a page being impressed.
And yeah, and then I was just like... I was like, oh, the studio, the Goonies filmed here, because it just has the plaque, Batman Returns. And they're like, you can't look at that. And I'm like, what? That's a rule? I guess they just didn't want anybody to sit around and stay, like stand around. Anyway, so she went to Conan and she apparently like gave somebody like a rambling note, like that she wanted them to give Conan. And
well, they said that she was also acting very erratically in the audience. Which, I mean...
Yeah, security walked her away.
You gotta be kind of rowdy for security to walk you away at one of these things. At least before the taping. And
I don't think they said anything about. I think it was after the taping when she like demanded to give Conan a letter. They were just like, and then security personally made sure she got out of the studio gates, which is like a fucking busy street, you know, right? Right there.
You're not like, acting like, right, so here you go. Try not to get hit by a car on this four-lane highway.
That entrance is a busy street, and then the parking garage across. Remember we were waiting in the parking garage, and there was just, like, a group of parents with children going on auditions?
Oh, yeah.
And these kids seem like fucking monsters. Oh, my God.
I swear to God, I saw one of the 9-year-old kids smoking a cigarette by the elevator. No. I swear.
Yeah, it was funny because we were trying to figure out what was happening because we just kept seeing sets of white moms with white children.
All looking exactly the same.
Similar, you know, that high and tight haircut with like the shaved sides and like the plop of hair on the top with like the little pompadour. Yeah.
They all came dressed like in the generic, like, Disney kid outfits.
Yeah, maybe it is Warner Brothers. I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be impossible to speculate. But anyway.
Welcome to Slime Time 2026.
Slime Time. That's just. I guess Nickelodeon still slimes. Anyway, yeah. So I wanted to go over some of the comments of people that were cool enough to talk back all week about Elisa Lam.
Before you get to the comments, I want to air my grievance about the door alarms.
Oh, you think she would have been able to get up because you know
they keep saying about how like the door was armed with an alarm and it would go off. Since I've been home, I've become sort of like a plumber. I service a lot of water heaters and boilers at hotels. Majority of the time, those heaters are on the roof. And I would say 98% of the time I've hit those doors that say this door is armed with an alarm and if you breach it, it will ring. Nothing happens.
Nothing. Yeah.
Like sometimes I honestly think those things are just like, you know, those dummy signs like you put like in front of your house that says like this house is like
ADT guarded security.
By ADT. And in reality, you just
swiped it.
Yeah, you just swiped it from your neighbors 4 doors down.
And you have a chihuahua. Who barks loud?
You don't even have a chihuahua. You have the little fucking dog in a can.
Like a sound box? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
it is. I guess for that, you get like a subwoofer and get like a scary dog bark. That'd be pretty smart. I don't know. Some people maybe missed the point when I was asking this question because I think it's pretty clear from this question that I think we all know what happened to Elisa, but I was just kind of asking on Instagram if people think that the Amy Price, the manager, came off as insincere. And I was curious if people thought that the hotel really held any responsibility. Cause I don't know. Like it knew what it was. I feel like it kind of doesn't, but at the same time, they were wearing this mask of being this cute little hipster place that would like, oh yeah, I'll take care of you. You know? Yeah. Come stay here while you're traveling, girl. It's fine. And it wasn't really that either. So,
hey,
yeah.
In their defense, I am just going to say cite Manchester, the Royal Inn or whatever that god awful fucking hotel we stayed at that one.
Oh, in Birmingham?
Unfortunate night. Yeah, in Birmingham.
Yeah. Dude, I bet you some
fucked up shit. Oh, my God. That place was so rough. The art was literally bolted to the walls.
And remember the TV that they had in there? It was so small.
The remote was even bolted to the, like, wasn't the remote on, like, a little, like,
it had, like, a thingy? Chain. It was funny. We went and had a drink in that bar, and everybody was just like, what the fuck? Why? How did we end? Everybody was like, how did we end up here? We ended up talking to some people that like set up like fancy facades for store openings and fancy parties and stuff. And they were there in town and they got stuck there. And they were just like, yeah, we
they got conned like us. We thought it was like this cute boutique, like no frills hotel. And in reality, it was fucking murder capital.
But yeah, the entrance was like under like a, yeah, you were like, wait, this is a hotel? Yeah.
Birmingham. It was in an alley. The entrance was in an alley next to an AMC.
It was in an alley, huh?
Or no, it was a KFC or something like that. It was something that ended with a C.
Oh man.
Hey, thankfully we lived.
Yeah.
And the water didn't taste funny.
Oh, because the B&B we booked, the B&B that we booked was fucking like under construction, and they were like, "Wait, no, who are you? Get out of here! What are you doing here?"
We went from a cool, hip hostel to...
Yeah, because I had stayed at that hostel before when it wasn't under construction. Fucking assholes. Anyway, I mean, the location of the hostel wasn't like, ideal either, but at least it was, like, cool and comfy. Anyway.
So, like, yeah. I get it. Like, you know, it's not the...
shady hotel. You have to make do. It's just, it's less fun when you don't have anybody to laugh about it with. I get it. And then apparently it's weird. Another new thing I didn't know about her being so weird to the roommates or the people. Because in hostels, you share rooms with people. And apparently she was like leaving notes and being really fucking weird.
Yeah, apparently she was like leaving notes like, you're not liked, go away, leave this place.
Yeah. So let's get into some of these comments. One that I think is interesting is... Stan fucks. I gotta read all these. Stan fucks says, "Why did she call her mom before the police? That's sus as hell." Yeah, his little sus.
What do you mean? She called.
In the documentary, like when they say that the guy says that he's like, "I found Elisa Lam's body." She's like, "I'll admit, I called my mom before I called the cops because I think she was just like." I just read it and she was like freaked out. She was just like, yeah. And they were just like, that's sus. Like, hey, mom, they found the body. Let's fucking like pack up the go bag. Like they found the body or something like that. I don't know. What. I was just like, yeah, she was just like freaked out and she's kind of neurotic.
What was the conversation like? Did she call and was like, "Hey mom,
I just are you sitting? You know. Hold up.
Hey mom, are you sitting down? You are? All right. The body's out of the tank."
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah, like they had done it themselves, or like it's probably just more like, "Oh my god, mom, I've been drinking dead girl water for weeks." No, they're not the weird European couple.
We thought it was just the Los Angeles.
Dude, she said it was sweet.
The Los Angeles mini roll is a sweet yeti sour.
Oh fuck! She said it was sweet.
Right now, I'm sounding a little French, and in a little bit, I'm gonna be Norwegian.
It was whiter. It wasn't French. It was.
It's that shitty. It's the only.
Well, they were from England. Her boyfriend was some sort of British, but she was not. I couldn't pinpoint it, but they were interesting. Yeah.
Somewhere vague Europe.
Another more recent comment, someone said, suffocate with a zero for the O. Says, "How did 20 trained cops not think to look in the water tanks? The dog wasn't able to find a trace of her anywhere on the roof. My bet is she wasn't up there when the police first searched. Something just isn't right with the roof search." I don't know. There was like the roof was like on another... I mean, the tanks were like on another like height. Like
it yeah, like, it was on a like a slightly elevated platform. I would say it was probably about 24 inches higher.
It's hard to tell, but I don't know. I just feel like when the dogs aren't directed towards that, and it is a metal tank. Like what we don't know anything, and it's in water. It's like you can't smell a piece of shit that like. Why do you think toilets exist? You can't smell shit that much when it gets plopped into that water. God, I'm not, well, I feel like I'm really. I'm not comparing this poor girl.
There's a thing called a drain trap that holds water that blocks the gas from coming back up the toilet for you to smell it.
And the water's always fluctuating in there, so the water's like, like getting replenished and
going
stuff.
Up
so
and
it's
down,
like
up and down, up and down.
It's like the water. It's not going to be like necessarily super nasty, stinky water because it's always. I mean, it is, but it's a mixture, right? Because
yeah,
fresh water keeps coming in. I don't know. And do the metal tank, I don't know.
Do you know what my theory is?
Yeah, cool.
I think she was kind of in the middle of like a mental breakdown in the sense.
Yeah, of course.
Or like an emotional episode. But also at the same time, she was like still trying to make like the best of her situation. In the sense, like, because, you know, like everything she talks about, like in her post while she's in LA is like, you know,
maybe I want to meet people.
I want to meet new people. I want to have new experiences. You know, I want to have this like adventurous life. Like, you know, maybe she had been drinking, was in the middle of this, you know, emotional episode. And was just like, you know what? Like, you know, I want to go swimming. And it's just like, oh, well, like they have root, like, you know, just randomly roaming the hotel. Like, someone like me, when I used to travel a lot, I used to love just randomly roaming hotels and seeing like what places I could get into. Just, it's interesting to see things from a different perspective. So like, you know, maybe one night she was just, you know, roaming the halls, found a way up on the roof and saw the tanks. And, you know, she had been drinking, was just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go for a little swim. She hops in, the tank is full. She's, you know, swimming around, but as she's swimming around and just kind of, you know, trying to be like spontaneous and carefree, the water level starts going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower because, you know, people are starting to shower, people are starting to flush toilets, people are going to bed, they're brushing their teeth, or people getting up or in the early morning getting ready for the
day.
So
you really think it was like a straight up accidental?
I honestly think it's either one of two things. It's a 50-50 thing. You know, she had like a psychotic meltdown and literally thought something was out for her. And, you know, she decided to hide in a tank and ultimately drowned. Or I think she just tried to be spontaneous and went skinny dipping in a water tank. And unfortunately, the demand of water caused her to get trapped.
I feel like she was just in some sort of hallucinatory state. And
I mean, isn't there an episode? Isn't there an episode of Hey Arnold where they go swimming in a water tower tank in Brooklyn?
Well, to be clear, they never actually say that they're in New York. And Hey Arnold, my brother has done extensive research on this because we're always trying to figure out where they are.
The great Hey Arnold debate.
My brother says Queens. My brother's adopted. Brooklyn. My brother's adopted. New York is his home turf, and he says, I think he says Queens. I think I'm not. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, shit, Hey Arnold. Anyway, Elisa Lam. let's see. Let's get into some more comments here. This is fun. It's giving us good stuff to jump off from. This one, I think this is the one that leans more my style, I think. The hotel staff probably was so desensitized to seeing Elisa due to their location. I can understand the staff and management not doing more than they did. Such a tragedy on multiple levels. I totally agree with that. This one person does not agree with me finding the manager, sensitive. She said, Forever Lotus Bomb says, I found her a bit insensitive. She seemed more concerned about the hotel's reputation than Elisa's death. I don't know.
I mean,
I just feel like at that point, telling the story so many years later after she's told the story on so many media outlets and like, you know, and at that point it was probably more of like, fucking finally, like we were pretty sure she was here, you know, like, you know, I mean, what do you expect her to do? It's not her fucking mom or relative or, you know.
Yeah.
Spooks How Baby 75 says that yes, it's haunted.
Oh, totally.
They're responding to Cecil Hotel. Is the Cecil Hotel responsible for her death? And so, yeah, maybe. I mean,
oh, I was just
don't get
that,
us.
Yes, it's haunted.
Don't get us wrong. As soon as we stopped watching that, we turned on American Horror Story Hotel. Is it haunted? I don't know. That's fun. Was it morbid? Everybody owes Morbid an apology. Go find him. We need to tell him to make music again. Send him a blood cake. Everybody owes Morbid an apology. We all need to Brittany and Morbid. We did them wrong, guys. Let's see what Thomas Hatfield 83 said. I think the hotel should be held liable to an extent. It shouldn't have been that easy to access the roof and the water tanks. That's good. Rachel Dykus says, legally, no. I do feel like they could have done more, seeing she was in an obvious paranoid state. However, given that they probably have numerous guests that had mental or substance issues, they were unfortunately desensitized to it. It was very sketchy. And then she called her mom first, but I agree. She seemed genuine. Yeah, the mom thing, it's just such a little funny, weird thing that they add. I don't like this one. Lisa suicided herself. Mental health is overlooked so much in this country. That's true, but I feel like suicided herself is... I don't like the way...
It's not a good sentence. Insensitive.
I don't like that sentence. Lucar79 says, I think the documentary is pretty clear. It was a terrible accident caused by her spiraling mental health and lack of meds. It's very sad. However, I think the hotel staff, who knew she was finding things very difficult, had some responsibility and should have tried to help. I actually responded to this one myself. I said, yeah, they should have figured out that she's not the normal Skid Row Cecil Hotel kind of odd. She's a young woman that wasn't even staying at the Cecil proper. It's almost like she got lost in a sea of weird. Even when she essentially asked for help, people were like, all right, just another day at the Cecil. Yeah. Tragic. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's one of the bigger questions we're left with. Is like, because they do talk about at the end of the case, is like, should the hotel have done something more? I do think, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted now. At first I was like, no, but now I'm just like, they fucking dressed up this turd in a pretty, like, fucking, in a pretty dress, you know? They got this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
it's like they lured her there to this awful place. And we don't know, you know, people, we don't know if she got drugs from somebody, or we do know that she had some books delivered to her. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it was drugs. I really think it was lack of medication.
Yeah. I don't think necessarily they're like responsible in the sense that, you know, they polished that, you know, they
polished the turd.
Yeah. But, like, I could totally see how there should have been certain kind of preventative things that they should have done just in general.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, I remember when that story first, like, when that video first started circling around the YouTubes, it was just so deeply creepy. It's good to, and I think it's very important to note, I can't stop thinking about it, is that none of her family members participated in the, none of the media I've seen, but not this documentary. That's pretty well done and fair, and I feel like it's really respectful to Lisa, the way they read so much of her blog posts and stuff.
It just comes off more as just a tragic freak accident.
Yeah, like a tragic story about, yeah, I don't know. And she was she was someone who was seeking help. It's not a story of one of these people who like never got help and then just that's it, everybody was so confused. It was someone that was trying to seek help, but, or, you know, was medicated at least, but, you know, it's a shame. She probably shouldn't have gone on a vacation. I mean, who? I don't know, man. Like, I feel like that's veteran vacationing, is going off by yourself. My brother likes to do it. I like to have someone along for the adventure always. But that's at least veteran vacationing, especially when you're crossing borders.
Yeah, that's like pro status.
Even for, I mean, mental illness or not, you know.
Bipolar. Yeah.
But that's just me.
No, you're totally right. Like, even just for anyone, like, traveling for your first time to a foreign country by yourself, like...
Yeah, with, like,
that's airport. A lot of stress. I mean, you're dealing, well...
Airports and buses and...
Well, I was just going, like, to say, like, in... Well, not in her case, because English is spoken in the U.S. and
yeah,
Canada.
Yeah, it's pretty similar, like, to... U.S. and Canada are pretty similar, but still.
But just, you know, the whole culture, currency, language, the way different cultures function... Or way different cities or societies function as well.
Yeah, wasn't she going to, like, a small university, and then she goes to, like, the worst, seediest part of L.A., which you were saying is pretty good neighborhood now, right?
Yeah, it's becoming very gentrified.
These whole, like, 7-8 years later, it's crazy. Not that long later. Wild. All right, guys. Actually, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about... Dan and I started watching Trial by Media. We only saw one episode, but goddamn, Netflix show Trial by Media about this Ginny Jones murder case. Oy, oy, oy.
You want to know what's kind of fucked up about that first episode?
Yeah.
Is it's
maybe we shouldn't spoil too much about it, but I don't know. Where you just go.
It's like meta beyond meta in a sense. Because, like, the whole episode is talking about how television exploited someone's, like, you know, emotions for the sense of entertainment.
Yeah.
And then they interview, like, a reporter who's, like, specializes in kind of, like, shock type of headlines. And they make a comment about how they kind of felt guilty because they were exploiting the people by... using someone's exploited situation, and then here's Netflix exploiting
this. The layer is Ginny Jones exploiting the person, the group of people, and then them exploiting the trial on C-SPAN.
Right, right.
But check it out. So Warner Brothers owns Ginny Jones, and Warner Brothers also owns C-SPAN. So they're making money off them suing them. Like, people suing them, but they're making money off the trial because ratings. And then all these years later, the whole thing gets strung up again and put on Netflix and, like, a triple meta trial by media circus kind of fuckery. It's a fucking Dave's Triple Wendy's burger of
fucking Dave's Triple media bypass.
Bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. The case is interesting. It's about this guy who went on Ginny Jones to tell his best friend, male friend, that he had a crush on him. And then eventually the friend shows up to his place with a shotgun and kills him
3 days later.
So, I mean, it's way more complicated than that. And, you know, there's lots of different factors, but, you know, it's a combination of deep seated lack of mental illness awareness and deep seated homophobia cause for this just to, like, be like a, I'm embarrassed, you embarrass me on TV, I'm going to murder you. It's very interesting. That's just the first episode of Trial by Media. The second one is about the subway vigilante. That's fucking crazy too.
I haven't seen it yet, and I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. I was cooking, but I need to pay more attention. Holy shit. Yeah, that's interesting. I think later down the line, there's an episode about Rob Blagojevich. Yeah, I can't wait to... That
sounds Russian.
That's it. He was... You don't remember him? He was in the news. He's a political governor. He's something. He was some politician who made a fool of himself and ended up, you know... He did the whole nine yards. He was, like, on Dancing with the Stars eventually and shit like that.
Oh, wow.
Rob Blagojevich. I think I'm saying that right. But yeah, so lots of good true crimey goodness. We'll be back soon to talk about season 5, episode 6, which is a juicy episode. We're going to get into this New Orleans serial killer that was never caught, and a bunch of other shit too. Yeah, thanks, Dan, for joining me for this special little episode. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. For every mystery, there's someone somewhere who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone is listening, and perhaps perhaps not someone as you. Can I still say that? Because there's a podcast now. It's an official podcast. It's fine. Whatever. I don't have to say it. It's fine.
We'll just wait for our second cease and desist letter.
Yeah. You can't say that because we have a podcast guy and he says it. And he's got a great voice. He's also the announcer on The Match Game, which is a show hosted by Alec Baldwin. So how do you be the announcer on a show hosted by Alec Baldwin, who's also got a great announcing voice? That's how you do it. Anyway, yeah, good night, guys.